is Screen View with Peter Van, Amy Morgan, and John Denny. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Screen View Show, and join in on the conversation on Google Plus.
Welcome to Screen View after a long hiatus.
Okay. Welcome to Screen View episode 41. I am Peter Van, and of course I have me the usual gang, John and Amy.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Welcome. After, it's been a while.
It has been a while. It's been a while.
Okay, so
we've got a lot of stuff to catch up on.
We do, absolutely. We will start with the box office, of course. A Good Day to Die Hard, a.k.a. Die Hard 5.
I can't believe it was number one. I can believe it was number one. I just can't believe, I don't know.
That many
it seems
people
shocking. Yeah.
To see it.
I mean, they really, they saturated the crap out of the market, right? I mean, there's over 3,500 theaters.
I almost went to go see it. I decided to go see Hansel and Gretel instead.
Oh, was
yes.
Good? Was that good?
It was all right.
John,
it was a fairy tale mashup, so.
Yeah. John, did you see Taken 2 yet after my awful warning?
Okay, it's still sitting on. I haven't seen it yet. We haven't watched either of our movies yet.
I warned John hardcore this weekend. Just burn it.
Just burn
don't.
It. Burn.
So terrible.
Fantastic.
Number two was the Jason Bateman movie, Identity Thief, for 23.6. So, you know, they barely, A Good Day to Die Hard barely beat out this movie.
What is Identity Thief?
It is that comedy where this lady.
Oh, right.
Oh, that one.
Identity.
Okay.
Jason Bateman. I keep thinking it's like a serious movie.
Right, yeah. You would think that, yeah, based on the name.
Because I keep forgetting that that's the name of that movie.
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. Number three is Safe Haven, which is Nicholas Sparks.
Episode three?
I think. Right?
There's been like 12 of those movies.
Have there? Oh, God. Oh, anyway. That made $21.45 million. Escape from Planet Earth, which had essentially zero publicity. It's a Weinstein Corporation animated film, so that's kind of nobody knew this really existed. But it still made $15.9 million. And it only cost $40. Even I could finance this film. It cost only $40 million to make, so. Did pretty good.
Wow.
Warm Bodies at 8.8. Beautiful Creatures, which is, I think it's like a teen movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a Twilight-ish type thing.
Yeah, it's a teen.
I'm glad I didn't go to that one then.
It's an adaptation of a teen, young teen movie.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. Number seven, Side Effects. Number eight, Silver Linings Playbook. Number nine, Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters. Look at that. $30 in there were Amy's.
Yep.
I can't believe Silver Linings Playbook is still in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but for sure, it's, you know, it got some Oscar buzz, so people are going to. And then, of course, last but not least, Zero Dark Thirty.
More Oscar buzz.
Right. Except
more
for
Oscar buzz.
Okay, so movies coming out this weekend are Dark Skies and...
Yeah. Dark Skies is a movie with Felicity.
Yeah, Felicity. Yeah, Carrie Russell. Or as or the Russian in the...
Yeah, the Russian girl, yeah.
Is a surprisingly pretty good show. So, let's
looks
see.
Looks very interesting.
Dark Skies and Snitch both have not gotten any reviews so far.
Because they're not out yet.
Right, but usually they kind of screen them.
You mean like critic screenings?
Yeah.
That's not surprising. I can imagine they're going to say anything really fantastic about either of these movies.
Yeah, one's a Dwayne Johnson movie, so...
Oh, yeah, yeah, the snitch one.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I'm going to save my son. It's partly based off of a, you know, little bit of a, you know, truth, but they go like bazinga on it, you know?
And then yeah. Dark Skies is like a rehash of every other, like, pseudo horror movie nowadays, where it's like a strange person living in their house.
For some reason, every time I see Dark Skies, I think of the show Falling Skies. So I think it's like a dystopian future or something. Like the aliens have taken over. Time to fight back kind of thing. But yeah, those two films. So, you know, continuing with the February dearth, essentially. Don't want to get overshadowed by whatever movies are coming out. I don't know, next month, I guess. I honestly, it's just a dumping ground. Putting out movies nobody cares about.
Yeah, it's. I mean, unless it's like a love story, there's not going to be a whole lot of people going to the movie. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
last week.
But still, I mean, last year there was a couple like romantic drama movies that was like, this movie doesn't look that good, and still like made multiple millions of dollars for multiple weeks.
Mm. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Heart isn't in it this week or this year.
Yeah, all they did was that Nicholas Sparks one, and it didn't do that very well.
Aww.
Oh, well.
But apparently this movie, Warm Bodies, is supposed to be really good. It's like, apparently, it's just it's like a teen comedy kind of thing, but at the same time, it's got 78% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, my mother-in-law went to go see it.
Did she like it?
She'd like it.
They said, I mean, I heard clips of it, I've seen pieces of it, and I was just like, oh man, this movie looks really funny.
I will see it eventually. That's a movie I think I'm waiting for Netflix to bring to my house.
Probably a good idea. Okay, so let's see here. We talked about this, well, we sort of talked about this. So there's pretty large rumors about Disney working on three Star Wars spin-off films, with the rumors leading to be Yoda, Han Solo, and a young Boba Fett.
Oh.
And Simon Kinberg and Lawrence Kasdan are linked to these films so far, to write, produce so far. They're working it out. And rumors have that Harrison Ford may be involved in an upcoming Star Wars film. So it could be either Star Wars Episode 7 or a Han Solo spinoff.
Geriatric's Tales.
Yeah, exactly. And then there was like a rumor this week that Episode 7 would focus on Luke, Han Solo, and Leia and their kids. So they would.
It really is going to be the geriatric adventure.
The kids will be like 25, 30 years old.
And they'll be like, okay, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Shut up!
I mean, each of those movies is guaranteed to be a prequel movie, right? If they make Yoda, Han Solo, and Young Boba Fett movies, because Yoda is dead by the end of the third, and so is Boba Fett.
Spoiler alert. Oh my god.
Yeah.
But wait. Technically, Boba Fett didn't die.
Well, yeah, if
he
you read the book.
By the Sarlacc. Sort
of expanded universe.
he could be in there for millions of years, and then it finally go, you know what, I'm tired of the indigestion.
Yeah, that's what he did.
While those are really good books, I'm not counting that as part of the canon.
There's a book where it focuses on Boba Fett, and he actually gets eaten by that monster, and then he blows himself out of it.
Yeah.
Nice.
He lives. But,
he is a clone. He can, you know, live.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's spoiler
another
alerts. Oops. Sorry. Oh, my God.
my whole problem with prequels is that it takes the drama away.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you know where the characters are going to end up.
Right, because now you're just telling the story between him finding his father clone's head rolling towards him and becoming Boba Fett.
And even like, is there enough of a Yoda backstory that, I don't know, that
really
he learns how to sparkle.
I'm honestly not sure. I mean,
take it very seriously.
You have to go beyond Episode 1. You would have to go further back than that.
Yeah.
How he shrunk to that little size. and how he became green. Where how he lost his hair or something.
I mean, they have such an opportunity to, like, to focus on other aspects of the entire universe. You know what I mean? There are other Jedis out there. There are other smugglers out there. There are other, you know, bounty hunters out there, yeah, where they could focus on so many other stories, not necessarily using the expanded universe as a basis for it, but I mean, they could make something up.
Right.
Yeah, they could go 100 years into the future and say, Star Wars, the after years.
Yeah. After when everything Luke, settles down, dead, what happens? Like that,
everything settled down, and then all of a sudden, they've got this big evil showing up or whatever.
Or it could show, like, the, you know, the rebellion, which becomes the new empire at the end of the third movie, like, becoming big and powerful and becoming a new, like, evil empire where there's another rebellion that goes against them. You know what I mean?
Or they go back and do the old Republic stuff that they've kind of hit on in all of the games and stuff that seems right to be really good right now. I mean, go back, go way old school. It's before Yoda even existed, man. At the very, very end of the last movie, we find out that he's been born. Yay!
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's such a good opportunity to get away from ham-fisting old characters in the new movies.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So I hope they do something more along the lines of that instead of just...
I hope all of this is just disinformation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so early, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously these things are sort of out there to get people to talk about it, but I just hope that they kind of say, well, we thought about it. It wasn't really what we wanted to do, and we went in a different direction.
Yep. I just... Before we move off this topic, I thought it was really funny because they talked about Boba Fett possibility getting his own, you know, spinoff. And then the person, whomever wrote this article, said, oh, of course, Boba Fett is a clone of Jango Fett. But he spelled it as Jango, as in Jango Unchained, instead of J-A-N-G-O.
That's awesome. I mean, wow. They could do it smart where it's not like... They could do a movie about a bounty hunter in space and just have it be like a Star Wars movie on the periphery and have it like The Adventures of Boba Fett as a bounty hunter. Instead of, like, you know, saying, like, hey, oh, here's how he encountered the first time he encountered Han Solo and the first time he encountered Boba or Jabba the Hutt and blah, 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 blah. Like,
yeah. Or they could even go further back and say, like, we're going to do his great-great-grandfather. We'll call it the Fett years.
Or like...
I'm on a kick, can't you tell?
I don't know. I think they have a good opportunity to do something a little bit different. And I have a strong feeling that they're not going to do that.
Well, I mean...
It'll still be George is interfering with it still. He's like, no, please don't do
that. He's hands off now. There's you know, another person running Lucasfilms now. And Disney, you know, with the way that Disney treated Marvel Studios when they bought it, they just kind of let them do everything that they wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't seem like, you know, as long as Disney continues to back them with money, they probably will.
Or how about this? What if they just decide we're going to go and redo all of the old ones and make them better?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We're going to take all the violence out.
Everybody. And Harrison Ford will play Han Solo's dad because we're going to have a backstory here.
No. Then you hit him in the face of the newspaper. No.
Well,
you can tell the enthusiasm that I had for that because I was like, and then they do this, and then they do devil's advocate. Okay, yeah, let's move on.
Well, Peter Dinklage has joined the cast of X-Men: Days of Future Past, which is currently in production. You know, obviously, Dinklage is Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones. And the interesting thing is he is a new character, but because of the story itself of the Days of Future Past, which is essentially from Uncanny X-Men, was essentially talks about a dystopian future, talked about the early lives, but then their older counterparts were in a very dystopian future and things like that. So what is interesting is that aside from the X-Men First Class actors like James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Jennifer Lawrence, Nicholas Hoult, there are also other people are also returning from the original series, like Hugh Jackman, of course, since he's still pulling the Wolverine thing.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, Anna Paquin, who is Rogue.
Rogue,
Ellen Page, who played Kitty.
Kitty Pryde.
Kitty Pryde. And Sean Ashmore, who played Iceman.
Iceman, also yeah. returning.
So that'd be definitely an interesting, a large film to play. But, of course, Bryan Singer is back.
To have to balance, yeah.
I wonder what their plan is for, like, how they're going to do that. I mean, I can understand how they're going to put Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen in. And Hugh Jackman, obviously. But, like, if they're going so far into the future, I don't know. Well, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to connect to the other three movies because, spoiler alert.
I don't think it has anything to do with the previous three movies. I think it's just, like, a nod to the fact that they were that they played those characters in the original trilogy. And since Bryan Singer is back as the director for this movie, he said, hey, why don't you guys come back and just do it?
Okay.
They're like, sure, we'd like to be in this movie again. Yes. We liked it. I like getting paid, too.
I kind of took X-Men First Class as, like, a reboot of the entire series.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is. That's why. Yeah, so it's kind of... Yeah, I can understand the confusion there. But I guess Bryan Singer just... Since he, you know, he cast them himself,
yeah.
So I think
I understand why he would want to bring them back because it's not to the original three movies, not throwing them away. But I don't know. I mean, for me, I get it. I mean, but someone like my wife is going to try to like piece the movies together and be like, I don't understand how this fits because
they're from a different timeline. Maybe
Patrick Stewart died in the end of the third one, and. I know. I said spoiler before, so and you cut me off.
Come on, man! It's what these are decade old movies that we've seen. If you haven't seen the X-Men original, you shouldn't be watching this show. You should be out watching the X-Men original and being educated. You know, so stop the recording right here. Go watch those movies. We apologize in advance, and then come back and talk and listen to us talk about them.
What'd you think of the movies?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I get it, and I get the nod, and I got the nod in the other ones, or in X-Men First Class when, like, Jennifer Lawrence's Mystique transformed into Rebecca Romijn as Mystique.
Yeah.
And, you know, Wolverine having, like, a small bit part.
Right.
Or Hugh Jackman having a small bit part as Wolverine, but, like... I don't know, to make it anything heavier than that, it'll just, right. I think it'll throw a lot of other people off.
Right.
I don't know, whatever.
You're right, because there were, I remember having a conversation with somebody, and they were like, First Class wasn't a reboot. Watch it again.
Right.
It was definitely.
That's how, like, because the way you explain it, I mean, the way at least I understood it was, I mean, at the end of X-Men... Origins Wolverine, it showed all the kids who were captured running towards Patrick Stewart as Professor X, and he was walking. But clearly, at the end of X-Men First Class, James McAvoy's Professor X gets shot in the back and paralyzed. So they can't possibly be connected.
Right. Right.
But yet, they'll find a way to make it work, right?
Right,
yeah. It's definitely not connected, I think. It's just...
No.
They were capable. They, you know, they just... That's just what they wanted to do.
Right.
Thought it would be fun.
I wonder if Peter Dinklage... Oh, he said he's going to be a new character?
Nobody knows. I mean, Bryan Singer, you know, posted on Twitter and said that Peter Dinklage has been cast. But other than that, no details.
I wonder if it'll be Bishop.
He's Galactus.
He's Galactus.
Oh god.
That's
wow.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Oh, okay.
Good times, right? Wow. Good times.
Alright, that was really bad. But okay. So obviously this next Sunday, this Sunday is the Oscars. In case you didn't know, that is the Oscars are a celebration of movies and, you know, what's good and what's good. What's the best of the best. So
supposedly.
Yeah, it's a little arbitrary. This year, of course, there are 9 films out of 10 films that out of a maximum of 10 films that could have been nominated. And that's based on percentage of people that voted for it. Yada yada, you know, it's very arbitrary. A lot of people are still confused because they don't really explain it. They just do.
Because they're the Oscars, man. They can do what they want.
So, Amy, have you, like, what kind of films in the Best Picture category have you seen or would you like to see that you think that were, that you just think you should win? Who you think will win?
What do I think will win? Well, I'm waiting for it to actually boot up right now. Sorry.
Okay.
Can I go?
To John.
Yeah, go ahead, John. Go ahead, John. While it's trying to open up, I'm like, everybody has been nominated.
Why do I see 9 here? Anyway, of the 9 best
there are
picture
9 films this year,
of the 9 best picture nominees, I've seen 2.
I haven't seen any of them. Sorry.
Everything all right? You're making a strange face at me, Peter.
No, my phone.
Oh.
Is ringing. And it's as if somebody's trying to call me via Skype on my
That's
phone.
Weird.
Anyway.
Definitely ringing, too. I'm really confused. And it's still going.
So the 2 movies I saw were Django Unchained and he hit the Django. And Lincoln. And they could not be more different. So it's a little difficult for me to say this one was better than this one. I don't really know anything about Life of Pi. Well, I don't know anything at all about Amour or Beast of the Southern Wild.
Yeah, that was definitely these 2 films specifically were just very much like who?
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Argo is getting a lot of buzz, obviously over in the BAFTA Awards. Ben Affleck won for Best Director for that, and people have been saying it's a really good movie, so I really do want to see that. I just don't know when. And the other movie that I really wanted to see was Silver Linings Playbook. Mostly, I guess, because it takes place in and around Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But I think that if I had to say which movie I think is going to win, I have a feeling that it might be either Lincoln or Zero Dark Thirty because of the subject matter. Let me back a little bit. I don't think Lincoln is going to win it for Best Picture.
Okay.
But I think that it's a strong contender for it.
Right, because it has come up short in several of them so far.
Right,
the actors have Daniel Day-Lewis has won, but the rest of the films, like the film itself, hasn't really done too much.
Right, like I said, I really enjoyed Django Unchained, but I think that it's a little too violent for anyone to say that it's going to be the best picture of the year.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because it's a really good movie. But that's kind of my feelings on it. I think it'll be Zero Dark Thirty.
That makes sense. I actually haven't seen any of these, so I can't really say one way or the other. I'm like, they all sounded good. I just have been too busy to go and see any of them.
What are you doing all year, Amy?
I've been podcasting.
Okay, well, I did
caught up on all of the TV shows. That's what I've done.
I got to see Silver Linings Playbook. I thought it was, I don't know if, I haven't seen actually haven't had a chance to see any. Especially Beasts of the Southern Wild and Amor. But, I mean, Silver Linings Playbook, the actors are definitely in contention for sure, but I'm not sure if overall it would be a great picture, I think, because of just like, it's a romantic comedy with, it's just a well-acted romantic comedy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Les Mis is a classic, but I know it's not going to win just because it was a musical and people had reactions to that. And as much as that's great, I'm glad that it's at least been nominated, but I don't expect it to win either.
Yeah. But I mean, musical, I mean, Chicago was a musical and it won.
True.
Best picture?
But
yeah.
But it was also, I don't know, there's something about it that was a little bit more edgy. And yeah. I don't think that they're going to go edgy with Les Mis. Come on.
No,
I think the fact that
it's not the first time that it's been made as a movie kind of takes away from it as a contender for Best Picture.
Yeah, but it is the first time it's been made. Like, this is the first time that a film that is a musical was made the way Les Mis was made.
Well, yeah.
That's
the reason why it's been nominated, is because of that.
Because it's different, exactly.
Do I think that it's strong enough to win? No. I mean, if it does, I'll be like, whoa, okay, I was wrong. But right. I'm thinking that might be what John has suggested, the Zero Dark Thirty.
Okay. If you go with a lead acting category, I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis has essentially been, like, dominating.
Yeah. And, I mean, to me, it's kind of it's a done deal. I mean, I haven't seen either any of these other movies except for Lincoln, and my only comment about Lincoln is that it was almost as if it wasn't Daniel Day-Lewis playing a part. It was like if they got archived footage and put other actors or like in the scenes with actually
they found a way to send a man into the past. Record all of this and sent him back to the future, and they went, wow, this is cool footage, we should make a movie out of it when we get back, right?
And I think part of that is like, does anyone know what Daniel Day-Lewis actually looks like? And
yeah, he's the guy that played in Last of the Mohicans.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know that, but like in Last of the Mohicans,
he was running around in a loincloth. It was great. He had
long hair in real life, maybe. I don't know.
But the point is he's trying to make is like in every of the Daniel Day-Lewis essentially just he is that person, right?
You can't pick out the actor in the role because you don't know what the actor looks like.
Right. He just looks completely different in every single.
That's the way I look at it.
Right. Yeah.
He's a chameleon.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he was this crazy railroad guy in There Will Be Blood, and he goes to Lincoln and plays the president. You're like, oh, okay.
that's aside from like Bill the Butcher and Gangs in New York and
Are we all in agreement then that he's probably going to win the leading role then?
I would be astounded if he didn't.
Yeah, he definitely has the momentum coming in, so.
Cool.
Okay, so actress in a leading category. I think this was kind of mixed, right? Because Jessica Chastain won at the Screen Actors Guild, I believe. Or the Golden Globes.
SAG?
Yeah, that's for the SAG. And there's the WAG.
Do they really vote for the actors and actresses in the Writers Guild Awards?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Okay. I'm pretty sure I just made that up. But yeah, Jessica Chastain has won so far, I think.
I could definitely see her winning, and it wouldn't surprise me if she did win, just Jessica Chastain, but it also wouldn't surprise me, I guess, if Jennifer Lawrence won. Because this is not her first time being nominated for lead actress, I think.
Nope, she was nominated and won for Winner's Boot.
Oh, she didn't win Best Actress, did she?
She did. She was nominated and she won for Winter's Bone.
Wow, I didn't know that.
As far as I know, she did.
I know she was nominated. I didn't realize she won. Maybe it was supporting actress.
She wasn't a supporting actress, though.
I don't know. Maybe she won't win then. If she already won, I don't know. That's kind of the way I think that they look at it.
Hmm. Maybe.
Let's see here. She was... No, yeah, you're right. She was nominated, but she never won.
Okay.
But she didn't win at the Academy Awards, at least.
Right.
Yeah, she was nominated.
I kind of feel like a lot of these other movies are just, I mean, filler. You know what I mean? I mean, I haven't seen The Impossible or Beast of Southern Wild or Amour. So maybe they are really good actors and actresses playing the parts and really good movies, but I kind of feel like that I don't know. They knew it was going to be either Jessica Chastain or Jennifer Lawrence, and they just needed three other nominees.
Well, they needed, yeah, but. Exactly, yeah, for sure. Okay, we're very cool. So far in terms of actor in a supporting role, it's kind of a toss up since they all have kind of won here and there. Like, it's definitely a toss up. Seems that Anne Hathaway seems to have the lead in supporting role, or the actress in a supporting role. So definitely. There will probably be some surprises, but you know, as most people have said, that based on the Golden Globes and the Screen Actors Guild, it's definitely a precursor to what you can expect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Actually, we have reached the end of our show.
Cool.
So,
all right.
We will definitely... Good topics, you guys. Good talk this week. And we will definitely be back next time. So... With myself, Peter Van, and John Denny, and Amy Morgan. We will see you guys next time.
Awesome.
Okay,
have a good one.
You've been watching Screen View. Like us and leave comments on our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/Screen View Show. Follow us on Twitter @Screen View Show and email us at screenview@tfradio.net. Visit us on tfradio.net/Screen View for show notes, archives, and to subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at TF Radio Network. Watch this and other TF Radio Network shows on your TV. Visit tfradio.net/TV to learn more. Screenview is a Radio Free Cybertron production.